What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. It's been a good little LA trip, Jack.
Yeah, we've been working our ass off, but that's what we do.
You fitted today. Tell them where they can get that shit at.
AllTheSmoke.store, of course. I didn't know a couple weeks ago, but I've been looking so good in the shit. I gotta tell you where it's going.
You gotta know.
Yeah, you did.
Man, we got a good one today, man. To me, someone I've been fucking with since early.
My partner and them.
Yeah. Man, to me, one of the best in the game. No pun intended. Welcome to the show. Game. Appreciate you pulling up on us. Man, what's going on with you? We heard the album's coming soon. How's life right now?
Man, you know, I feel like if I wake up, man, then life is good. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
Really, if you wake up and your kids is good and, you know, you can wiggle your toes and fingers, you shouldn't have much to complain about.
Mm-hmm. How are the kids? I know you put the kids first, so how are they doing?
Yeah, don't nobody need help with nothing. That's all I'm hearing is I got it.
Wrong, you know what right?
And it's like, yeah, once you get them to that point, you can kind of, you know, dive back into, you know, living your own life.
What's the age range?
Harlem is at Oregon, hooping. And he almost 19. That's okay. The baby on the documentary, which is crazy because time just be out of here. You know what I'm saying? I can remember really trying to get him to stop crying on the album cover so we can get one photo. Now he doing his Oregon thing up in Oregon, man. And that's then my middle son about to turn 15 on Saturday. And then Callie, who is everybody, mama.
Yeah.
She 11.
She's the boss.
5'8", though. So it's like, you know.
Yeah. Album coming, Drillmatic. Talk to us about that. Who's on it? Who helped produce it? When's it dropping?
Drillmatic, what I can say about it is this is like... really, really me in rare form. It's my best album to date. I know that's, you know, when I tell people that
that's
sometimes,
saying a lot.
Yeah, it is saying a lot. But you know, I've been with myself my whole career, and I know when I push myself to certain limits, what I'm gonna be able to accomplish. So this album is definitely the best album of my career, and definitely gonna be the best hip hop album this year.
Who'd you get to work with? Who helped produce?
Producing is straight. It's Hit Boy. Off rip. Hit
been
Boy.
On fire
majority
too.
Is Hit Boy. My dog, Big Duke, and then this kid Davon, who is amazing, came in the fourth quarter. You know, I got the Timberlands and Swizz Beatz and, right, you know, Just Blaze in there. But yeah, it's just working in-house with my guys, you know, the guys you build a chemistry with. It's sort of like that Primo and Nas moment. You know what I'm saying? When you working with people you comfortable with.
Yeah. It ain't nobody from the West Coast that go hard on the Just Blaze. You belong with Just Blaze.
Yeah, man.
Y'all kill everything.
Yeah, that's why I had to make sure I got I got one from Just Blaze.
Yes, sir. Born and raised in Compton in the 1980s, you said you don't even like to talk about your past because it was so messed up. You know what I'm saying? You want to really talk about the future for your kids. Explain that to me.
I just feel like, you know, a lot of people like just like to delve in the past situations. I think when you think about situations that sort of rendered you helpless, you know what I'm saying? It's easy for you to dive back into those emotions too. Mm-hmm. And then to pull yourself back out of that and try to function in a present day can be a little bit more difficult, you know what I'm saying? So I try not to focus on the past at all. Like, the past is the past. And, you know, my past is so, you know, back there that it almost seems, you know, surreal, like it didn't even really happen or it wasn't my life. Like, getting shot, that's starting to be like a faded memory, you know what I'm saying? Like, really, some people that I even went to high school with, I see and I, you know, don't know, you know, not to, you know, shit on nobody. It's just that I leave that there, you know what I'm saying? I'm so focused on like tomorrow that I can't even like turn around for too long, you know?
Yeah, and that kind of goes to me not being able to really relate to people that ain't really been through nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You go through so much in the past to get where we are now. It's like, man, fuck what happened back then. Like, I'm happy here and I'm trying to stay here.
Especially the hurtful moments. You know what I'm saying? The things that, you know, could have damn near killed you, or, you know, people that, you know, passed away or met untimely demises back then. Like, I ain't really trying to think about that, you know?
Facts. What's your favorite part about being a father?
I think just that aspect. I think that, having people that you created, you know what I'm saying? Like, you, like, we don't even give ourselves as much praise, you know, as we should. Like, we're creating humans.
For real.
Like that. Like, you know, you got people out here, you know, they, you know, work in factories, they creating trucks. You got people creating computers, microchip. We creating people that create things. You know what I'm saying?
Just so, like you too.
Yeah, man.
Just like
you. Yeah. You. Same shit.
Same with me, yeah. It's
as a father, you know, that's what you really want.
Come on, right.
And you know, their mothers be hot when they come out looking just like you. But yeah, man, the best part of being a father is just that. Like, being able to redo, you know what I'm saying? Relive your life through them.
Yeah.
Being able to, you know, tell them, yo, no, to go around that or go left or don't go here. I've been through that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the best part to me, is just being able to really, really be like the tutor for them.
Yeah, that's what's up. You were known for hooping back in your day. Probably one of the best rapping basketball players. Talk to people how you fell in love with basketball at a young age.
Basketball at a young age, it was first my grandmother, where I got my name from, Game. She used to take me to the Great Western Forum. We used to watch Magic and, you know, Magic do his thing, and the Showtime Lakers, James Worthy and all them, Michael Thompson, Michael Cooper, like, you know, those guys. So early on, like, you know, basketball has always been like, you know, really implemented and was implemented in my childhood. My pops used to hoop a little bit. He wanted to shoot with two hand niggas, you know what I'm saying? but we was out there, you know what I'm saying? But all love and all praise due to my grandmother, rest in peace. She would always take me to the Lakers game. And so I repaid her a few times, you know, before she passed, taking her to see, you know, the Lakers and, you know, Kobe and getting her shoes signed by Kobe and sitting her on the wood. And so I got to, it was sort of a 360 moment. But yeah, hoop is, you know what it is, man. Like, your hoop dreams, man, that outlet, being able to play basketball at the same park as Venus and Serena's playing tennis, but not knowing, you know, we going parallel universes is crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's like the King Richard movie. I could have damn near been mad that I wasn't in it.
Right there.
Nah, but you know what's crazy about that is they really was out there, man. Yeah. And like he really caused some hard days, some hard times, really trying to get his daughters through. But we was all trying to make it out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, did you run across them at a young age?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time.
Yeah.
It was always on the tennis court. Okay. Always on the tennis court.
Because we all kind of the same age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Since you spoke on the Lakers, you know, that's the team you have to love if you're from here.
Yeah.
If you're in charge, they say, I want you to run this franchise. They don't have no significant draft picks this year, no real cap space. How you fix the Lakers?
How you fix the Lakers? Sheesh. Damn.
You listen to trades for AD? You listen to trades for Russ?
I don't listen to trades for Russ.
Some okay.
I keep Russ.
You keep him Russ?
I keep Russ.
Okay.
I keep LeBron. Okay. I dump everybody.
Everybody?
Yeah, and I rebuild.
What about Malik Monk?
I keep Monk.
Yeah,
I keep
nice.
Monk. I keep Monk. And look, and all those are my guys. You know, D.
Right.
Howard, those are my guys. I mean, that's my guy. AD, that's my guy. Melo, that's my guy. You know what I'm saying? I just think that, you know, too much firepower on the same team is just, you know what that do,
right.
man.
You need pieces.
You need role players, man. It's only one ball. We talking Westbrook, Carmelo, AD, Dwight Howard. We talking LeBron, like, you know, Monk. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously need to rock at some points, man, because he just one of those guys. He was like that in Charlotte. And I've been following him since college. But, yeah, I would keep Westbrook for sure.
Again, similar age. You grew up in the similar hoop scene. Who were some of the dudes you grew up playing with that went pro, and maybe some of the dudes that was dope that didn't?
I think that the only person, there was one guy that I didn't want, that I feared playing, where, like, when we matched up, it was like my heart was beating before the tip-off. And, two guys. One of them's here, one of them's not. BD was so feared.
Of course.
BD was feared. Three. Crazy. BD was feared. And it didn't matter when you matched up against Crossroads. Like, I seen, like, me and BD, we played Slam and Jam together.
Mm-hmm.
We played, like, you know, we was around the city, like, you know, hooping. Like, and BD did a lot of, like, street hooping, too.
Yeah.
With street scrapping, with
the shit.
All the smoke.
Yeah, for
BD,
real.
BD, yo, facts, out the swans. Like, you
word,
know.
Word.
Yeah. And so BD was feared, because even though he played for Crossroads, and that was in Santa Monica, like, that was a real hood nigga. And so he knew how to keep his composure enough to, like, not let it shine.
But that's why I say he's so weird. The motherfucker grew up in Compton and went to Crossroads. That's why he don't know who he want to be. He's stuck.
Right.
He don't know who he want to be at times.
But so we went for the tip off at Artesia one time. It was probably like 10th grade. And I had dumb bunnies, right? Dumb hops. So I go for the tip. I tip it, but behind me it went in front of me. BD caught it. That nigga must have did like three moves, took two steps after that and jumped. I jumped with him. Shit went
got you.
In the rim. Got
Ooh.
Me. Got
Ooh.
Me. And I ain't been dunked on a lot of times. So, you know, I get physical. Uh-huh. Like, it's going to be a flagrant.
Right.
But, BD took it off. They called coach called a timeout and off rip. Because I was at Fremont, you know what I'm saying, with Houston and my whole squad there. But yeah, man, they called a timeout, and coach was like, yo, what's up? And I was like, yo, I'm ready. And then we ended up getting smacked anyway. BD was crazy. And then I scored 30 on a Ray Young, but he had 45.
Yeah. Where's Raymond at?
Ray right there.
Yeah, okay, Raymond. Raymond, you remember?
Hey, yo, so let me tell you about Ray Young.
Ray gave you,
Hey,
yo.
Hey, my
Ray.
Hey,
took the 30, please.
They used to call Ray NBA Ray. Hey,
Ray is one of the coldest hoopers LA ever seen.
Hold up, we talk about Ray taking his 30 piece, though.
Hey, yo.
That's what we talking about.
Ray got off 45.
Okay,
okay.
Hey,
my bad, Ray.
Ray, hey, look, I remember the day like yesterday. We was in the gym, Cal State Dominguez Hills, right, for a tournament. This nigga Ray walk in, Cortez on, some shorts, white tee, blonde hair. Beautiful eyes. Look. I had a little chick with me from Westchester, right? She like, Oh, that hurt her friend. Oh, that's Ray Young. Everybody around the gym, pretty boy Ray. We like, yo, I talked to my nigga. I'm like, yo, we not going down this pretty boy nigga. Nah, hell no. Yo, man, Ray was nasty. He could do everything, bro. He was, he had the jumper. He had his cold little shimmy fade. Hops was out of this world. Handles. Ray was crazy. I don't know what he got now. You know what I'm saying? But back then, you remember that day though, Ray? Crazy.
That's all.
And we chopped it up after the game, man. And I'm one of those niggas, like, I need to take a shower after the game.
Yeah.
Ray was so pretty boy. That nigga put back his clothes. And, like, the nigga ain't look like he sweated. Yeah. Nigga put back on the white tee. Shorts was still crispy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Threw back on the Cortez, walked up out of there.
Hey, Ray was good for that UCLA. That nigga didn't never used to take shower. He liked to lay in the bed after we play. Like, bro, get your motherfucking ass in the shower, bro. We just, Ray like, nah, I'm going to take a quick nap.
Yeah.
All right, bro. This nigga used to take them pills all the time.
Nah, man. Shout out to Ray Young, man. One of the coldest.
Who were some of the other ones? Well,
Kenny Bruner.
Kenny
Bruner.
Yeah.
Obviously stronger than every other nigga on the court. Just like a pit bull, you know what I'm saying? Definitely David Hamilton.
Super crib.
Let me tell you something. Hey,
super crib. Nigga got shot and played in an all-star game with us the next day.
Hey, bro. Nigga got shot in the leg and played in the game, bro.
The next day.
But look, let me tell you. Hey, Stack.
Hey, shout out Super Crib.
Hey, check it out. Hey, look. They used to put the nigga in the newspaper as David Super Crib Hamilton.
That's hard. That's so hard.
Yo, bro. You asked the recruiters who they came to see. Oh, we heard it's Super Crip. Like, I don't know if it, you know, it wasn't no internet back then, right. So it's like too many people couldn't weigh in on it. But not, yo, it was in the newspaper as Super, like, David Super Crip Hamilton, and we looking like his blood's like, I want to be Super Blood. Yeah. But it's like, yo, bro, he had it, bro. He had it, man.
Yeah.
And
Shay?
Shay Cotton, that was R. LeBron.
Yeah.
No cap.
Tell people that.
Yeah, I know.
Shay Cotton was our LeBron, bro. Nice. When he walked in the gym, Ray will tell you, like, Shay walked in the gym, everything stopped. Everybody stopped. Everything stopped. Whoever he was playing got scared. Coach, everybody.
Every and, tournament, he walked in
and
like
it, and it was a 50-piece every night. Every night. It's just one of those freaking nature type of niggas where you just knew he was going to be like, you
grown
know.
Body in ninth
you
grade.
Knew he was going to like be a Kobe or a LeBron.
Well, who was the last freshman in high school that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Crazy, bro.
LeBron, right?
No, not a freshman in high school.
Oh, LeBron was
freshman.
Later.
Shay was on the cover as a freshman in high school.
Bro. That's yeah. dope.
I don't think nobody's ever done that as a high school player.
He was cold. Is it true for rumor that you got a scholarship to play hoop at Washington State?
Yeah, but it was short-lived because I just chose gangbanging off the rip. Mm-hmm. Roll weed on the scholarship letters. Moms was pissed off. And I really not. It's a real thing. You know, a lot of people, it's a laughing moment
he
now.
You said it was short-lived.
Yo, it's a laughing moment now.
Right.
But, you know, in retrospect, like, I really wanted to take gangbanging seriously.
Yeah.
That shit was cool to me back then. And like, niggas was really getting to it. Mm-hmm. And I ain't had to go far. To go to Washington to hoop, nigga had to take a plane, train, you know what I'm saying?
And Washington
to gangbang and be an all-star in the hood and still be able to go to Southwest College and, hoop. You know, hoop and stay local was like a nigga's dream. And you got to think, the mindset of a African-American teenager back then, you low-key scared to lead a hood. Number one, we can't even go too far left
anyway.
Or right. And, you know, in Compton anyway, without getting sweated or tripping. So think of going to, like, you know, having to go play in Long Beach, just, you know, in the Moore League and really going to have to play niggas and go that far. So to think going out of state and going, that shit, like, wasn't realistic for a kid with no internet who couldn't see a Washington, like, you couldn't Google it, couldn't see it, like, just to throw yourself
right.
into that. Be like, gone. Nah, niggas was scared. And what you were comfortable with was right in front of your face. So that was a decision that was a career choice for me at the time. And for, you know, everything that happened from then to now, I mean, I'm on the couch. So, I mean, it was some fucked up things that I went through. But, I mean, I'm where I'm at.
Right.
What other music did you grow up on?
I'm really a oldies R&B dude. Like, when I get in my car, I don't listen to no rap. Like, I put on, you know, Marvin Gaye, the Pointer Sisters. Like, I'm in there rolling to what my mom's cleaned up on Saturday with. When you wake up on Saturday and you hear that, you know,
Anita Baker.
You hear Anita Baker and Mary Jane Girls in the Vacuum, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was the type of music that wrote the soundtrack to my childhood. So as an adult, you know, I find solace in listening to what I came up on.
We'll be right back.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You got shot and badly injured. You're recovering from the hospital and had your brother bring you a classic hip-hop album. From there, that's when the game took off.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
It's a little bit more complex than that. I woke up out of the coma and for some reason, like, I had this long reoccurring dream that I was, you know, on 106 and Park couch. Don't know why. I never rapped in my life up to this point. Actually, my brother was the rapper. But for some reason, I had wrote out in my mind five things that I wanted to do. Number one was, like, go apply at Home Depot, because I would just always drive by Home Depot, would always say, now hire it. And I figured, like, you know, like, one day, like, I probably can manage this thing, then be district manager. I'll be running Home Depot. I don't know why I had that idea in my mind, but that was number one. Number two on my list was, after I got shot, I was like, I'm really about to, you know, go back. You know, I'm going to go hoop. I'm going to find somewhere to hoop, because that was always my love. But then I was shot up. So it was like, nigga, how long is that going to take? So third on my list was to become this huge rap superstar, and had no idea that it was even possible. It was just, I was trying to figure out, I definitely didn't want to get fucking shot again. That shit was crazy. So I had to come up with five things that, that you know, would be an escape for me. And so rap was number three, which ended up being number one, because it was the easiest to attain, I felt like, because all I would have to do is get this notebook, study some of the greats, and then I would have me some bars. Well, even though I thought it was that easy, it wasn't, because my first shit was like, trash. My sister was like, you need to stop this now. Like, nigga, you weak. And I was just like, fuck that. Like, I'm about to, you know, I started watching 106 in Park as I was recuperating from my gunshot wounds in my grandmother's house. And lo and behold, like, after, like, 60 days, like, I was ready. Like, I was ready. So I started entering. I remember I went back to school, and I tried to hoop at Cerritos College, but my ankle would, you know, would give out and shit from my wounds. So I was, like, enter this little rap contest, and I won a few of them shits at the college. And then Russell Simmons had this hip-hop summit at the convention center in L.A. So I went to it, saw Snoop Dogg, nigga. Mm-hmm. I ain't never seen Snoop Dogg in my life. Mm-hmm. I was 19. I seen Snoop Dogg, nigga. Never seen Snoop Dogg ever in real life. Shit was, like, crazy that I'm walking up on Snoop Dogg. And the nigga was like, what's happening, cuz? And I was like, yo, I'm game. And he was like, okay. He was like, what you do? And I was like, I rap. And so he was like, well, spit some, cuz. So I was like, shit. Nigga, I'm going in my mental Rolodex. Nigga, I got like hella raps. So, you know, I come out and I'm just like, it's the game. Mr. Tinta Windows with your brain. Since a youngin' up and coming, all I did was cop cane. Ain't trying to change the game, nigga. I still cop cane. I ain't moved out the hood. Still stay where the cops came. And he was like, all right, nephew, you could go, cuz. He was like, good luck with your career. And I was like, oh, okay, so you don't just meet a nigga and get signed. Because that nigga just, Snoop would tell you. So Snoop mobbed off with like Trey D and Goldie Loke. And I was like, damn, well, they go snooping the Eastsiders.
Yeah.
Cuz. Right? So then I was like, all right, cool. Snoop ain't fucking with it. And so I found a pack of niggas freestyling. So I went over there, spit some more shit. Well, it was a nigga named Fat Rat and this nigga Fat named Rat. JT the Bigger mm-hmm. Figure. They was over there and I was spitting, and then I was walking away. As I walked to my car, JT the Bigger Figure was like, hey, you hard. He was like, I want to bring you to the Bay, record a demo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we go to the Bay and, He said, I'm going to have a flight for you. Back then, again, man, niggas is selling Wolf tickets all the time. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. I ain't never even been on an airplane. You know what I'm saying? So he had a flight. And I'm like, shit, I told my brother, nigga, I'm going to the Bay. So I went up to the Bay, and I ended up staying out there for a month recording my whole demo. And because I was so fresh to hip-hop, And the recording process, when I wrote my raps, I didn't know like rap format. So I didn't know you had a 16-bar verse or a 12-bar verse, and then you have an 8-bar hook. I didn't know any of that. So all my shit was freestyles. Mm-hmm. But I'm from Compton. So when I was doing my when I was recording, them niggas was thinking like I was on some New York freestyle shit. Mm-hmm. Nigga, I just didn't know when to stop.
Yeah.
So all my shit on my demo just sounded like a bunch of freestyles. So that, you know, that's how I end up getting signed, because niggas was like, who is this nigga from Compton? It's freestyling like he from New York. Mm-hmm. And really, I just didn't know song format. So niggas had to tell me like, all right, that's like 5 minutes. Like, you good. Because I would just keep rapping until I felt like it, you know, like I'm out of breath or something. So that shit ultimately ended up getting me a deal with Dre. And yeah.
How you?
That was it.
You can't just say I got a deal with Dre. How that? I want to hear how that shit.
So basically, I came back with my demo, and I end up meeting, D-Mac. Mm-hmm. I end up meeting D-Mac and K-Dog, and they had some connections with, with Puff. So I went around with Puff for a minute. And this nigga Puff never let me get in the studio. All we did was party, nigga. And I'm like, nigga, I really want to be a rapper, nigga. Yeah. Like, we just partying. He be like, here go another bottle of champagne, Playboy. And, you know, some bitches over there. And me and Mario Winans, you know, we traveling with Puff and Loon back in the day. And I never got in the studio. So one day, Puff came up with this idea. He was like, after all this partying for a whole year, this nigga was like, you know what, year. Playboy? You should go see Dr. Dre. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. But D-Mac was like, you know, I know somebody. And then Mike Lynn, who was Dr. Dre's homie, ended up coming to Cedar Block and, like asking who was game. And first time he came, we pulled guns out on him. And because we didn't know, like, niggas came on the block talking about, like, I'm looking for game. Dr. Dre sent me. So we didn't believe him. So we pulled guns and ran him off the block. Second time he came back and he was like, you know, well, Dre told me come back and get the game. And, you know, if I die over here, I got to die. But come back with the game. Mm. So I told my brother about it. He was like, well, let's go. So we went up to Aftermath. And when I walked in, I had seen Snoop again. Mm. Yeah. Now we here.
Yeah.
But yeah, now me and Dog, we chopped it up. Him and Nate Dog was smoking in the kitchen. You know, God rest his soul. Busta was there. I saw Eve that night. Rakim was there actually rapping on the end of, like, writing to the end of club beat. Crazy. So it's like before 50 had in the club, Rakim had in the club. And so when I walked in, I opened the door, that shit was just like, you know, it's that moment. Because it's like Dr. Dre sitting right there. And a gang of bitches all over the studio. And women, for the groups out there who are going to try to say, cancel, you know.
Right.
But yeah, gang of women in the studio, and Dre turned down the music, and he was just like, you game? I'm like, yeah, I had just finished whipping up crack and everything. My T-shirt was, my neck was drunk, and definitely was the opposite of what Ray Young had on that one day when, but yeah, but I walked in, and he was like, welcome to Aftermath. And I was like, damn, yeah, this feel good. So I went out. I walked out and I freestyled with Busta Rhymes, and that shit was like the one of the highlights of my career. And then after that, it was on.
Explain when you getting on. So what year is this when you getting on?
This is 2002.
What's the rap scene? Because you went after the top.
It ain't no rap scene. It's I think Kanye just had a car accident and he was getting signed. I think I came in right when Kanye was like getting his Rockefeller chain on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Through the Wire, I think Through the Wire was just coming out. 50 had mixtapes out, but album wasn't done. The rap scene, shit, it might have been, the hottest nigga might have been Nelly and Chingy. Mm-hmm. No cap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might have just been them. I know Rick Ross was coming in Miami, but he was still young. Jeezy. Mm-hmm. Jeezy was in Magic City in the strip clubs in Atlanta getting his rotation, because I was out there with D-Mac and Big Meech and Baby Blue and all those niggas running around with BMF. And so, yeah, the rap scene was real Little John-ish and little and Chingy. Mm-hmm. Chingy was in, and when I say Chingy, nigga, I don't say that.
He moved units.
Yo, Chingy.
Major.
I ain't even talking about the units. I'm talking about what we all do it for.
Oh,
Chingy
okay.
had bitches.
Yeah, he did.
Yo, Chingy? Nigga, when you see Chingy coming, boy, I remember being in the Beverly Center one time with Chingy. Nigga, they was running, chasing this nigga through the mall. Like, it was crazy.
Mm.
Chingy. So, yeah, man.
Right.
So, yeah, man, the rap scene, as far as the West Coast, it wasn't nobody. It was Snoop and Dre, but they was iconic already at that moment. And so it was wide open. So it hadn't been shit since Pac died. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nobody, like, no fresh energy.
Down,
and so it was wide open for me.
Uh-huh. The documentary, it hits. How did your life change after that?
I can remember I had a shootout in the hood with some Mexicans. And we had two shootouts on the same day that the documentary dropped, which is crazy. So I went to my album release party with my window shot out my Range Rover. Crazy. And you know what's crazy? BD co-signed for my first range because I ain't had no credit.
Mm.
BD went down to the Range Rover dealership.
Shout out to
BD. Took me down to the Range Rover dealership, and you know, I took the money and he put half with me and was like, yeah, you deserve it. And then we left with two Range Rovers.
That's
so, yeah, and then I got the windows knocked out of mine, and BD went back to doing what he do. But yeah, so I drove to Hollywood with no front window. Hella wind coming through the front.
That's hard.
To your album release party.
To the album release party. And nigga drove up. Niggas thought I was crazy. But I was like, nigga, this is my whip. Like, I'm not getting back. I'm not getting out of this and getting into Monte Carlo, nigga. Like, this is a Range Rover. So I drove it like that.
He said hella wind to my face.
Hella wind. Yo. I'm talking about nigga look like one of them, the old Maxell tape nigga, the logo. Yeah. I can remember being, like, the album was like, went platinum, and we were still on the block.
50. Is it a competitive thing? Is it real beef? What is it? Because y'all have had some great motherfucking music together, and then you guys do some competitive type shit talking on the internet. Like, where is that situation at?
50 is like a... 50 at one time used to be like this real street, super street nigga, right? And, you know, outside of, you know, his, you know, the snitching allegations and all the paperwork that they got on him to say he told and all that shit, which is his business and not mine. The nigga was a really hood nigga, you know? And so I can't not validate who I met and who he was, because we, you know, we had some times in the streets where shit got real and I was right there and seen him do his thing. But as far as like now, I mean, obviously he's older and, you know, into the, you know, in the TV and doing that, star on Hollywood and all that. And I like all the TV shows. I think it's great. His hip hop presence, he don't have none, not in today's time. So it's like me and him, I think I'm the only nigga that he really don't play with. Cause when when it's me, it get for real and it don't end. So he might say a little something, I might say a little something, he might go away. But other than that, like, you know, 50 is like he like a bully, you know what I'm saying? But today it's like a comedic bully, you know what I'm saying? Cause it ain't really gonna be too much action behind. Mm-hmm. It's more so, you know, jokes and memes and shit like that. But I think that he know where I stand as far as, like, you know, holding myself down. Mm-hmm. And he stand where he stand. And I, like I said, I ain't got nothing but, you know, kudos to give him for everything on TV. But mm-hmm. this rap shit, like, leave that alone.
Mm. How important is Eazy-E to you?
Everything. Eazy-E was a person that I met one time, not enough to say, like, we had a whole meeting. I was a kid, and he right. was in Compton, like, handing out, like, turkeys and Christmas gifts. He was always there for that. Eazy was always there for the kids, the community, and Compton. Like, he really wanted Compton to flourish. And so when I came in the game, like, of course, like, I grew up in the 80s, so NWA, you know, was everything, you know, for me and my siblings. So I'm always going to go back to giving Eazy everything he deserves. I mean, this is a man that took dope money and put a group together. Mm-hmm. And that group ended up being, you know, one of the biggest, you know, rap groups of all time, if not the biggest. And look, who Eazy was, like, the first Dr. Dre. If we can say Dr. Dre put on, like, you know, me and 50 and Eminem and Snoop and did all that. Like, Eazy put on the whole NWA. Not to take nothing away from Cube and his writing and what he did, but it was Eazy that really went and got the deals done and got really, you know, made it something.
Go back to the documentary for a second. My Start My Life from Scratch and the song with Faith, that's some songs that I jam a lot of times, the songs that probably I jam when I got shit on my mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So salute to those. Tell how Kobe personally thank you for making that album.
Kobe, throughout his career, he would either shoot me a text, and it's funny because having Kobe number in your phone and not abusing it was, like, you had to have some real restraint, because I had so many, nigga, it's Kobe. Like, nigga wanted to talk to Kobe every day. Facts. You know what I'm saying? Even if, like, you know, you had obviously different mothers and fathers, like, you still felt like he was a brother, you know what I'm saying? Because anytime you talk to him, he always had some game. And one thing that Kobe asked me, he was like, yo, when you going, like, get on your business and step aside, you know what I'm saying, from the streets? And I was just like, never. He was like, see? And just, you know, he'd be like, all right, I'll get with you. But one thing about Kobe in the documentary, every time I seen him, every time we talk, he would just always tell me how much that album meant to him. But even more so than the documentary, it was the doctor's advocate for him. Mm-hmm. The doctor's advocate was the one, you know what I'm saying? He was just like, yo, like, one blood. And, like, I work out every day, every morning I'm up and I throw this on. And every time I came to the Staples Center to see Kobe, like, if he saw me, I don't know. Like, I ain't never seen a nigga with a phone in his shorts.
But your music got played.
It was.
He just gave him a look.
Start running, man. And so, like, I still feel indebted to Kobe just for his contribution to the city, for him never wavering from, you know, like, playing for the Lakers, never being traded, never abandoning the ship, like, just taking it in the last game. Oh, my God.
Six.
I said that, yo, I watched it. I watched niggas double team. It wasn't easy. I watched them get 60 on the way out. And it's like that, like, when we talk about Kobe, I mean, under these glasses, if I say his name too much, I'm going to start crying, bro. Because it's like, you would have never thought in a million years that Kobe would meet an untimely demise.
He's a superhero.
Yeah.
And let me tell you about that day. Eerie as fuck as it was, I was leaving the recording studio, and it was hella foggy. Like, I'm talking about on the ground level, it was foggy, and I couldn't see. And I was like, nigga, I gotta damn near take the streets home. I can't get on the freeway. Because when I went up the ramp on Barham, and I got on the 101, and the shit was way too foggy, so I got off. And then I took Ventura all the way home. And the whole time I was saying, nigga, I can't see. I'm driving slow as shit. And then when I woke up, phone, crazy. Mm. And I was like, and niggas just hit me like, yo, you heard about Kobe? And I'm thinking, like, Kobe, like, I know Kobe, right? But maybe it's like some other news. Definitely wasn't thinking like...
Last thing on your mind.
Nah. Mm. And then when they told me, like, you know, his kids or his wife might have been with him, you know, the father in me kicks in, and I'm just I'm real visual. I start thinking of last moments, and I put myself there. If it was me, what would I tell my daughter? What would I tell my family? And that shit, like, to this day, bro, to this day, like, I drove by the crash site on the way here. Mm-hmm. I live in Calabasas. Right. So, I mean, I can't. If I'm going, you know, down Las Virgins, mm-hmm. it's you know, it's what you got to do to get, you know, over here to Santa Monica and that. Kobe, man, it should still feel unreal. Probably to y'all too. Probably to me, it's just like Kobe. But if anybody's legacy, memory, if anybody is in the afterlife looking down or has a presence, that's the it's really the only reason I believe that, you know, you should leave, you know, valuable footprints is because of people like Kobe. Like, you could feel him. He everywhere. Like, it's his city, man. And that's my brother. And, you know, I appreciate everything that he did for me, the city of Los Angeles. And, you know, my breaths get short and my eyes well up when talking about him.
Everybody. After falling out with G-Unit and Interscope, you went to New York to create the Doctor's Advocate.
Yeah.
What was going on in your mind at that time?
I hated everybody and everything that had anything to do with 50, Interscope, and rap. Mm-hmm. It was me time, and I just wanted my people that was riding with me and fucking with me to ride with me. And everybody that I thought that was did, mm-hmm. except Dr. Dre. And again, he had his reasons. And you know, to let you know, I thought hip hop was something totally different than what it was. You know what I'm saying? I thought, like, when niggas sign you, that, like, it's a camaraderie and it's a brotherhood. And it's like, you know, Bad Boy, or it's like a Rockefeller. Like, when you're 25 years old, you're not thinking paperwork and you're not thinking business and you're not thinking bold black print. You're just thinking, like, I'm Aftermath and we got these chains on and I'm G-Unit and we supposed to be a family, but it wasn't like that. It was all business for them. And it should have been all business for me. I just didn't have nobody to tell me at 25 years old that was the way it went. If I had known, I would have not been as violent as I was. I would have had an understanding, because that's one thing about me. When I get an understanding about something, I'm good with it. You know what I'm saying? As long as it's been communicated that this is how it is, and I can't, you know, I'm not mad. So, doing the Doctor's Advocate, I went into the Sony studios to the bottom, the furthest studio I could get from, you know, the surface. And I sat in there for, you know, 3 months, and I recorded this album. And it's my most West Coast sounding album, but it was all recording in New York. And Nas came down there with me, Busta came down there with me, and they contributed to the album. Jamie Foxx came in, he flew in from LA to New York on a private jet just to, be a part of the album, because I asked him to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, that album meant a lot to me, because it was me showing the world that I could do it without Dre. 50 was saying he was writing all my raps, which was crazy to me, because, like, there, here comes another, you know, album that went 5 times platinum and nigga didn't write nothing. I didn't have no Dre beats. And so, yeah, man, that album is the one that meant a lot to me. So again, going, you know, doubling back on the Kobe thing, when he told me that was the album that he fucked with the most out of, you know, the two that I had at the time, mm-hmm. it meant a lot to me, because I know what I put into mm-hmm. it. I know what I sacrificed, mm-hmm. and I know how hard it was to get it to see the light of day, because 50 had just went diamond.
Right.
And so to put out my album when I was disrespecting Jimmy Iovine, disrespecting Interscope, and disrespecting everybody except Dr. Dre at that moment, and for them to still put that album out, mm-hmm. that means what I did in New York, like, had warrant. And One Blood mm-hmm. drove that album, because niggas, like, in Funkmaster Flex, DJ K Slay, RIP, mm-hmm. Like, niggas stood behind me, DJ Clue, everybody, like, Kid Capri, they all was bumping One Blood. And so that, when I by the time I got back to LA, pressure. It was on.
That pressure, yeah.
Nas, Busta,
yeah,
legends. How was it been spending that time with them?
Nas, hey, you get a glass of red wine, man, and a wine glass, and you pour Nas some Opus One or one of them expensive bottles that mm-hmm. he liked to drink, man, and you gonna see Sincere from Belly.
Yeah.
You're going to see Godson. You're going to see Illmatic. You're going to see Nas. Like, it's crazy. When you see Nas, that nigga just look like the coolest nigga.
The legend.
And I don't care what room he walk into. It just, he becomes the coolest nigga around mm-hmm. when you see him. And so it always been that way. And so I always been a big Nas fan. One of my top three best rappers, most motivated me the most in my career. I always show him love when I see him. Seen him with Hit-Boy, you know, a few months back, and, you know, we gave each other kudos again. I thanked him again. The album is half named Drillmatic because of, you know, Nas. Yeah. Yeah, because of that and his contribution to that. And Busta. Busta is like,
cold.
It ain't. Busta's we cold. Like that. That's the only nigga that that I listen to. literally, to this day. When he say it, and it might not be right then, but when I get back in my car or I go sit by myself somewhere in the dark, what he says starts to recollect, you know, those memories of the conversation before, and it always resonates later on. Buster called me borderline disrespectful. He always say that, here go the line, nigga, and you just run full speed up to it, nigga, and hit the brakes. and like this much of your shoe go on. So yeah, he be like, yo, son, you gotta, you know. That's Bust, man, but I love him to death. That is my absolute big brother, inside and outside of music. He been there to steer my career. And I feel like, and I never said this before on camera, I feel like if it wasn't for Busta, then me and 50 probably be Biggie and Pac in hip hop.
Like Father, Like Son was a crazy record. Yeah, man. That's a crazy record, bro.
He slowed y'all down, or slowed you down?
Slowed me down.
You mentioned that.
Thanks, Busta.
Yeah, man.
For real. You said, in your early career, in your 25, 26, you didn't know it was business. You later found out it was business, broke free, created your own label in 2012. Tell the world the thought process behind that.
I sat in my home with myself and my Glock, and I felt like I want to be off this label.
Me, myself, and my Glock?
Yeah, man. I felt like I wanted to be out this label. I felt like I had a 9-album deal or some crazy shit. And that's basically a whole career, if you even make it to that far. And I was like, I had one more album to put out, I think, that I owed Interscope. And so I went up to Interscope with this gun, and I demanded to be let go. Brandish it in the lobby or, you know, pull it out till I needed to. But I went up there and the heads that were in the room when I came in, they know. And I was let go. And I've been independent ever since. Mm-hmm. I made more money than I did being signed to Aftermath and Interscope and Geffen after as an independent artist than I ever had times 10. So, yeah, man, independence, I feel like, is the way. But, you know, for people, you know, signing the major, you know, the album deals, you know, with majors and shit, I don't knock them either because, you know, they got the machine and it's easier when you let them do it. And, you know, but at the end of the day, you want your masters and you want to, if you really like to work and you really like to put in the work and, you know, so that you can enjoy the fruits of your labor and be able to say, I did it by myself. If you want those people, then independence is the way.
So question, creative control and being independent is the same thing basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a big enough independent artist to begin with and you go sign to a major, you can have your people implement creative control into your contract.
And still be signed to a major.
And still signed to a major, yeah. Right, okay. So it's like, even though they're the major, you know, you still call the shots. And that's what, like, let's say Quality Control or, you know, like, P, you know, the guys that run them labels, like, you know, they, like, or Birdman, like, you ain't, Birdman might go put, you know, something out through Universal, but he gonna have all the say-so. So it's like that. But he has, you know, that catalog.
Right. What's your message to the new generation of rappers that continue to get caught up in the street life? I mean, you didn't see it firsthand. You grew up in it. And, like, we all know experience is the best teacher. You know, we lost Nip, we lost Dolph, you know, Pop Smoke, King Von, you know. It's just, we all know it's enough is enough. But as we all know, too, we know how the streets are, too.
Right.
So talk about that for me.
For the new generation, I would say, I don't know. I give advice to my younger guys all the time. It's hard to stand on it when I'm still 10 toes in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I haven't been through what I've been through. I got this one line and I gave nobody no bars on the album, but I say, you know, I say on the outro to my album, Drillmatic, I say, you know, this is Nas, this is Ill Will. And I say, the audacity of me at 42 years old to still drill. Because it's like, and so the psychology behind that is that at 42 years old, you should be in a mindset to where the street life is in the past.
Yeah, behind you.
But Nipsey died, what, 2019? 2019, they killed my partner right on Crenshaw and Slauson, where he's from. 33 years old, though. And even though he was a bit removed from, you know, what he came up as, which is being a Rolling 60s Crip, he still wasn't, because he cared about the community. He cared about where he was from. So he had to go there and see his people, or he wasn't whole. Mm-hmm. And so him dying there, I mean, it, you know, it, as untimely as it was and as tragic as it was, like, that shit is a reality.
It can happen anywhere
for us out here. And so me at 42 or at 50 or at 60 or at 70 years old, like, I'm from L.A., it's what it is. Niggas been hating niggas. People been hating people. People still hate people. Look mm-hmm. what's going on in the world. Look at Russia. Look at Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that about? Like, it can't be about anything other than hate. So for me to be 42 years old in a city that has killed Tupac, Biggie, Nipsey, Pop Smoke, Slim 400, Draco just got stabbed months ago. For me to look at my peers, these are all niggas that, like, you know, either I grew up with, I never met Pac and Big, but I grew up on their music. Nipsey was my brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, he came out, like, I helped him, I helped usher him into hip hop, along with him and everything he was doing with his hood and his brother and all that. Like, I stopped on, you know, Crenshaw and Sloss and took Nipsey demo and then brought him to the studio, smoked, and we did three songs like that. And I was, and I, then I took him and Kendrick on tour. So it's like, you know, I helped usher this generation of West Coast hip hop into hip hop. So for me to see my brother die in real time, and that's the difference between Tupac and Nipsey, is the reason that Nipsey shit hit a little bit harder is because, nigga, there was no internet when Pop died. We only heard about it, right? We saw Nipsey. That shit was on the internet for us to see him, his soul damn near leave his body. That shit killed me to my core. It made me so angry that I'm still fucking angry. It made me so angry that I can't let niggas get one up on me. And I'm a gangster rapper, and I'm still in the streets. And as much as I Calabasas myself to death, and as far as I move my kids to the valley, I'm around this city.
It's still a reality.
I'm around this city. And so I gotta keep it on me because I don't trust nobody. Mm-hmm. I seen niggas die in real time. And I'm sorry. I can't. Like, I can't. I just can't let, I can't give niggas my life. Right. Not in a city that has claimed so many of my peers. And I will not.
Right.
Does it seem crazy to think that 02 was my first year in the league? We 42 now. Does it crazy to think that you're an OG in this game now? Did you ever see this? Did you ever look this far?
To be perfectly honest, being a nigga from Compton and growing up, you know, between Watts and Compton, 115th and Wilmington and Nickerson Gardens and then Cedar Block and then, you know, spending my younger days in Santana Block Crip and just being engulfed in gang culture, I never thought that I would even make it to C21. And I tell people this all the time, like, I say, you know, without sounding honorary or really, really uneducated or just plain out dumb, like, I've been trying to die since 1979, right? Because I'm out here, I speak my truth, I Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale myself in front of cameras, you know what I'm saying? I stand up for my people, and then all of us, and then on the same accord, if I have to, I will kill my brother if he is posing threat on me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I tell niggas this on the album too. I walk people through this all the time. Because niggas, you know, they want to know, like, well, why are you still, you know, talking about violence in your, you know, in your music? Nigga, do they stop showing violence on Netflix? Do they stop showing violent, you know, nigga Rambo do the same thing I do. Only thing different between me and Sylvester Stallone is, nigga, I'm out here in the trenches. You know what I'm saying? And so my shit is real. So when y'all ask Sylvester Stallone to pick up the script, he's reading what somebody wrote for him. Nigga, I wrote this. You know what I'm saying? So I'm out here living. And so I tell niggas all the time, if I got to look in the mirror and shoot myself, I will. And what that means is I don't wake up with no ill intention on no human being, black, white, no race. But since I don't know when, early 1900s, when everything was, you know, set up, when they allowed, you know, white people to... you know about the Federal Housing Act and all that? When they allowed white people to buy these houses and said, as long as, you know, white people buy them and no African Americans are allowed to buy them, and you can't even rent or sell your kids. Kids can't even sell their house to African Americans.
No,
to now, it's still in there. Of course, they don't, you know, they don't honor it no more because it would just be, that it would be crazy to do that in this, I like to call it this black moment, right? And who knows how long it's going to last. But it's in there. So it goes all the way back then, even further back to Willie Lynch letters and all that. You got to do your history. We don't have enough time here for me to break it down. But it goes all the way. This deep-rooted hate for a superior race, obviously, or at least physically. We know that.
Yep.
And not to shit on nobody again. But, I mean, shit, we are faster, taller, bigger, and by nature. But we didn't do that. We didn't create ourselves. This is God. And if everybody praises God, every race of some sort, whether you call them Allah or Jesus or God or whatever it is that you pick from, whatever tree you pick from, like it has to be one God. So you got to say that we're all equal. And if we're all equal, right, if somebody is just a little bit better, you a little bit faster, you would think that you want to clap and not hate. Mm-hmm. Where did we get this deep-rooted hate from? We can go down any street in America and we can find it, and we can bring it back to this day on 420, and we ain't even that high yet, so we know what we're talking about, and say that I have a reason to fear myself.
Mm-hmm. Nah, that, I mean, I can't lie on that one. I that is true. I mean, to still be getting death threats from, you know what I'm saying, from George Floyd shit, that's just, and you know, yeah. I don't wake up to, I wake up to draw my day and get high and make some money. That's all I think about. But then just look at my DM and, fuck you, nigga, I hope you die. George Floyd was a crackhead. Like, damn, that was, you still on that?
And then
I, like, look, you still on that, bro?
I asked you to go even deeper, deeper than that. That's just from that. That's from the opposition. Yeah. Now, how does it feel when you want to wear your chain, you know what I'm saying, to the club, and then you just got a nigga over there who might have watched, might got your jersey. But tonight, you just look like food for his family. Mm-hmm. That's that deep-rooted hate. That shit has been implemented in African-American mindsets, especially of the black male, the black youth, the instruments and the institutions that have been structured to break us all the way to fuck down says that I should put my Glock on when I leave my house. Mm-hmm. It's not safe.
That's tough.
It's not safe. And so at 52 years old, if I'm rapping, at 62 years old, if I'm rapping, I'd rather get pulled over and hand myself over than try to climb out the casket. I've never seen a dead man climb out a casket.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed.
The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
What state do you think the West Coast hip-hop is in? Like, is there any artists? We know you rock with Kendrick, but is there any young artists or new artists that you rock with?
There's a whole culture of young, new hip-hop artists out here. I would say the one that I listen to the most these days is probably Baby Keem.
I like Baby Keem a lot.
Yeah. He also cousins with Kendrick. Kendrick got a new album coming out. I rock with Reason. He hard as fuck.
You rock with Lil Russell?
Yeah, I fuck with him, dog. They got it. They got a lot of cash, man. Like, I would just do myself and do them an injustice if I just ran through some names and didn't run through them all. Yeah, they know who they are, man. Right. And they out here going crazy. The Baby Stone Gorillas is crazy.
I got to get on that.
Yeah, get on them. They early, too. It's a good time to catch them. TD, Compton niggas is, on the rise again. And yeah, it's just a lot of dope West Coast hip hop artists out here. Shout out to Tyler. A lot of people don't even know he from the trenches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everything he did with just winning, his Grammy and all that. That shit is dope. And then yeah, me, I'm still here.
Of course.
Been working a lot with Kanye of late. What's that experience been like? What is some stuff you learned? How was that energy and vibe between y'all two?
Yeah, Kanye, since me and Kanye had his freestyle battle, was you at the Nike Town party?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I feel like you was there.
Yep.
Me and Ye had this freestyle battle outside of this Nike Town on Wilshire. Back in the day, it was a fly party. Everybody mm-hmm. was there. Chingy was there.
Chingy was there.
Hey, yo. But yeah, Chingy was there. Nelly was there. Yeah. And, like, these is the niggas. Like, these are the niggas with the most money, most chains, most bitches. So, yeah, me and Ye, we end up freestyling outside of it. And Ye, because of his punchlines, the chicks was like, my shit was all gangster, you know what I'm saying? But I was going, but Ye had the punchlines and he had the women, and so he beat me that night. And but so ever since then, man, me and Ye, we've been locked in. I can remember getting my first beat CD with just K Dot West on it, had like 12 beats on it. One of them was Dreams. Mm-hmm. And we threw, Dreams ended up being one of my biggest records. But from there, second album, Ye was with me on the second album. You know what I'm saying? He gave me Wouldn't Get Far, and we did it that night. As soon as I heard the beat, I was like, Wouldn't Get Far, fucking these rap stars. You know who you are. Put your hands up, lady. But and then Ye did his verse, and then we had, another smash. But that been my brother throughout hip-hop. We had some times where he called me, and he was like, yo, can you please stop talking about my wife? And I was just like, you got that. And so I stopped.
Yeah.
Until I started again. And then
until
it was
I started
like,
again.
And then, he wouldn't talk to me for a while.
Until I started again.
Yeah. And then we get in the studio and he always joke around, like on the contrary, what people might think, like, Ye is he a comedian too, man. Mm-hmm. So he be shooting me shots sometimes. And he make me uncomfortable in the studio because I'd be like, why? You know what I'm saying? Why we got to go there? But yeah, man, Ye is, that's my brother. Always got his back. And, a lot of people, I've been catching a lot of flack for saying Ye did more for me in my career in the last 2 weeks than Dre did my whole career. One thing Dre did was sign me, right? But Dre signed the hottest nigga in Compton. It didn't matter who was going to sign me. I was going to be the next nigga. So as far as Dre and Jimmy Iovine signing me to Aftermath and Interscope, they also did themselves a favor because they had picked up where Tupac left off in signing me because I was going to be the next nigga. So it's like as much as Dre did for me in signing me, I did for him in bridging the gap for the West Coast. Because, you had 50 and M, but you didn't have nothing on the West Coast. You know what I'm saying?
It meant a lot to get someone from the West Coast.
Independent, went through No Limit and all that. So it's like, as much as Dre did for me, I did for him. And he'll tell you that if we been honest. And so when I say that Ye did for me, more for me in those last 2 weeks than Dre did my whole career, it's like the conversations I had with Ye, the billionaire mindset that he put me in, the rooms that I walked in. Dre has never put me in those rooms. So it wasn't to say that Dre wasn't shit. He never did shit for me. I'm saying that my mindset and what I know now, my financial literacy, just from being around this man, is more than I could ever repay him. And that is absolutely more than Dre's done for me in my career, because I can remember being signed to Aftermath and being damn near broke. Not saying that was Dre's fault, but niggas wasn't putting niggas on to no money. Like, I wasn't part of the Dre the Beats headphones deal, but I was in the room when niggas was creating it. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm not saying niggas owe me nothing. Like, you don't, I don't wake up feeling like you owe me this or you owe me that. It's like the Super Bowl shit. I didn't feel like niggas owed me, you know, like I didn't feel like niggas owed me a call and put me on. I just felt like it's weird that I'm not there and the shit is in the SoFi Stadium and it's West Coast and it's like, I felt like niggas shoulda, but I don't feel like they owe me that. You know what I'm saying? So.
You've been, talking recently about is it a versus or just a battle with M?
Yeah,
talk about that.
That would be like, dope. Again, and I hate to break it down like this, but I have to because it's gonna make the most sense to everybody. It's like when I just walked y'all down memory lane with how the housing authority like regulated so that, you know, African Americans or niggers wouldn't ever be able to own nothing. And it wasn't that black people couldn't afford $9,000 and $10,000 homes. These homes back in the day cost $10,000, you know what I'm saying? And there was a lot of, you know, working class black people that could afford it. They just was, it was clauses where they wasn't allowed to be in it. So we see where black people are now, right? And so we've been in the pits of hell as far as like our financial literacy and just our financial status, because niggers put weights on our shoulders and held us down. Well, they did the same thing to us with Eminem, right? Because I'm not saying Eminem is not a skilled rapper, right? But there are men of goats out there. There are niggas out there that are maybe better than Kobe and Michael Jordan that will never make it to the NBA. And so I'm saying that Eminem is an outstanding lyricist, right? Now, you put him with Dr. Dre, who is from NWA, which, you know, Easy helped create with Ice Cube and all them, and now Eminem has a stamp. You put him under a machine, right? Interscope, one of the biggest in Universal, which is one of the biggest hip hop conglomerates as far as like when they put money behind something, it's gonna move. So they could damn near take this white guy right here behind the camera and tell him that this is who is next. And with the writers and with everything that Dre has and Interscope has under that building, niggas could make him a superstar. Or you. Could have been a rap superstar coming under Dr. Dre and Interscope. So I'm saying that we were told that Eminem was the greatest. Oh, and by the way, he was white. And that played a huge part in his success. Because if you can get white America, you know what I'm saying? Like, you are super solid as far as like album sales are concerned. And then who was he with? He's with Dr. Dre. So then we got niggas too. So then it's that much bigger. Then Interscope puts the money behind it. You put the money behind a fucking a pile of shit, and you put shit on TV every day, it's only going to be a certain time before people be like, yo, we got to see it. We got to go smell that shit right there.
Got to go smell it.
So they can literally take a nigga who is just as skilled, don't put none behind him, and that nigga will never see the light of day on the label. Does that mean that Eminem's better than that guy? No, it just means that he wasn't chosen. So when I say that, you know, I want a rap battle with Eminem, or Eminem is not the greatest rapper, or I'm better than him, it is you on draft night. Nigga, who? Did you think that Matt Barnes was better than you on draft night?
Yeah, not at all.
You know what I'm saying? And again, no. And for real though.
Not at all.
No, but I'm saying, like, right. what you got drafted what?
Second round.
We both got drafted at the end of the draft.
Drafted second round.
Everybody was gone, but we got drafted.
But y'all household names. Now, you can't tell me that, what, second round, if you was, what, 30th pick or 40th pick or something like that, that you thought that 39 niggas was better than you on draft night.
Yeah.
You waited till your name was called, but you seen, how many niggas you seen get up, you be like, nigga, I killed that nigga at so-and-so, or I will kill him. And is that not the mindset you're supposed to have as a warrior, right, as a competitor? So again, stop trying to make it seem like when I see Eminem, I'm going to drown this nigga or beat this nigga up.
Right.
I'm supposed to think that I'm better than every single rapper, else why would I do this shit at all?
Well, this is the only point I made, because I listen to Eminem too, but I tell this to people. Ain't nobody in our neighborhoods riding around listening to Eminem in their car. That's all I'm saying. Like, we ride to you. You know what I'm saying? But Eminem, like, we know his songs and Renegade and all that, but we not riding around four deep
listen to Eminem, and, dog. Yo, we just not look, doing that. And, we just not again, doing that. I'm
when
just,
have you
the truth.
Ever, and, I, and I'll take it away from you, when have you ever heard an Eminem song in the club? When have you ever heard this shit in the locker room when niggas like, yo, this is the new M. I'm about to go crazy out here when they do this tip off, nigga. So again, it must happen when niggas is training for the Olympics or some shit, or when white boys are surfing, dude, or doing what the fuck they doing. Because, I mean, I'm not taking away from them. I don't hear Eminem in the streets. I just don't. Yeah. And so, again, it's like, it's not saying that he can't rap. The skill set is there. Mm-hmm. I'm just a better rapper. Mm-hmm. I just haven't been given the light that he's been given. They didn't put the money behind me that they did. They put some, but as soon as I showed my ass and showed I was a little too black for what they expected, well, the budget stopped. Mm. I could have been pushed to Eminem heights. 50 got pushed to those heights because he played nice, and Eminem and him are like this. You know what I'm saying? Niggas don't even know that M wouldn't even do the Super Bowl unless 50 was on it. If Dre ain't put 50 on the Super Bowl, Eminem wouldn't have showed up. So again, that's their camaraderie. So they put the money behind the niggas who played nice. And when them niggas told me, you know, a lot of people don't know this. Like 50 and Jimmy Iovine, they gave me $1 million to stop saying G-U-Not. They wrote me a check. They bought it. I had the trademark to G-Unit. And you remember when I was going around with the rat and doing all that shit? That shit hurt, killed G-Unit. You stopped seeing the candy cane tank tops and all that shit. All the whole G-Unit, Mark Echo, all this, the shoes, all that shit died. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That shit was a hot commodity at once, G-Unit clothing. Niggas was wearing the sweats, the headbands, the masks,
white beaters, all
everything.
That
shit died, bro. And then so they had to pay me. I should have asked for more, but the niggas gave me $1 million. But then I'm a hood nigga, so I'm like, $1 million just to stop seeing this word?
Yeah.
With a check.
That's
they
crazy.
Wrote the check and I stopped saying it. So again, they suppressed the movement. You know what I'm saying? And so I had to, you know, fall over here. And after a while, like, they stopped giving me the budget. So as you start seeing, like, my record sales start declining, it wasn't that I wasn't still the same rapper I was. It was that they wasn't putting my shit on TV and pushing it at radio like they used to, like they was doing, because I was honorary and I was too disrespectful, borderline disrespectful, so Busta would have it. But yeah, if you don't play nice in these buildings, nigga, you know what it is. Your career is Martin Luther King on the balcony. Hmm. And they will kill your career in front of your homies, and Jesse Jackson will be left to tell the story.
Hmm. I know what did help him in the hood, though. When he had Jay backpedaling on that Renegade, oh my God. Remember that?
That shit was tough.
Yeah.
He had Jay backpedaling on that Renegade. I give him that one.
Yeah, but see, it's a story behind the whole, you know, the whole Renegade and all that. Like, if I'm not mistaken, that was Royce the 5'9"'s record. And M, like, and Jay, like, Jay had it, and then M was like, again, this is like my, like, don't quote me on this, but like, Jay, like, didn't get a real chance to, like, go at him.
Word.
M might have had the last verse, and Ho's verse might have already been on it or something like that. But it was Royce the 5'9" song. Like I'm saying, like I told you earlier, that In the Club along the Rakim first,
that's
but like
crazy.
Rakim on the In the Club beat, he was like, Rakim was like, not fucking with the bing, bing, you know that, you know, Rakim is Rakim.
Yeah.
So again, man, it's a lot of stories and a lot of other moving pieces behind what the headline.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas will see this interview, and of course, they'll, or any interview that I've done, they'll say, oh, Game says he's the better rapper than Eminem. I said that, but I also gave him his flowers and said that he's a pretty good lyricist. He's just not better than me. And if he is better than me, I want to see.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that's in the top 75. We talk about all the time that I got better numbers than.
Right.
But we ain't going to go there. We ain't going to go there.
Hey, when it's all said and done.
Kyrie wasn't in the top 75.
Crazy.
Dwight Howard
wasn't in the top 75.
Antoine Jameson has 22K points.
And 10,000 boards, right?
And he not in there.
But again, man, it's politics
Bill
all
Walton.
The way around.
When it's all said and done,
trash.
What do you want your legacy to be?
Shit. I want my legacy to be that I stood on what I was. And if it happens like Nip, if it happens to me like Nip, or it happens to me like, you know, like Dr. Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, like, the one thing I'm not scared of is death, right? How can you be scared of something that is the inevitable? There is no person in this room that will not meet that.
Right.
So it's like, you can't scare me with what's coming. It's for sure coming. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can't scare me with that. So I want to go out, or I want to be remembered as somebody that stood on everything that they was. And that is a father, black. I'm blacker than the Sony camera I'm looking into. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm black, unapologetically black. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be heard. I will not be silenced. And if you got a problem with it, I guess you got to do what y'all got to do. Maybe walk past an airport and poke a nigga with a needle or something. But, yeah, like, I'm here unapologetically.
Right. I'm praying to Allah, though, that your last days will be in the bed at home right next to your kids. That's what I want for you.
Can't wait.
Quick hitters. Wind it down. First thing to come to mind.
If you could be remembered by one bar lyric in your career, what would it be?
It would be... I got some shit on my chest. I must confess. Last night I was the nigga that shot up your projects. Now I'm back in the hood with rocks and the Pyrex. Tan khakis. And the Nike Airs with the Dodge checks.
Don't get me started.
I was forced to live this life. Forced to bust my chrome. My pops left me in a foster home. I felt abandoned like quick. Now that Mossberg gone. So I don't hop in the SS without the Mossberg homes. That's it.
Yeah. I feel that.
Build your LA starting five, and you're in it. So you plus four from LA, whether they went pro or not.
I'm going to take six, man. I'm going to definitely do... I'm going to do Kenny Bruner and BD in the backcourt.
Bullies, two bullies.
Guess I'll put Ray Young at the three.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to go Charles O'Bannon at the four for me. And that was like our little hood, Barkley. And I'll go Jelani McCoy.
Okay, J-Mac. Got two Bruins in here.
Yeah.
A lot of Bruins love it.
A lot of Spaldings in the seventh row at UCLA.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Say, Term, you got honorable mention, Term. He still think he's nice.
Yo, Term.
he still think he's nice,
though. I ask him, like, why you be cussing everybody out every time you make a shot, bro?
That's how he is, dog.
Hey, yo, Term is like the black hoop in Yosemite Sam.
Yeah. Right?
Think about it, right? Think about it. That nigga turn that
every
right.
shot. East side. Come on, Term. You ain't got to say east side every time you shoot.
Every shot, he's cussing. Bitch ass nigga. Damn, bro, what he do to you?
They know.
Term.
Top five LA MCs of all time.
Mm.
Definitely in any order. MCs. I would go...
Because I know the difference between rappers and MCs.
Yeah, I would go Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
Myself. This is in no order. Damn, that four and five get tricky as fuck, because MCs. West Coast?
Yeah. L.A.?
E-40.
40.
Ooh, 40 water, man.
Yeah. Sprinkle
and,
me, man.
And at five, but it could have been in any order, I'm going to have to go with MC Ren.
Hard.
Ooh. Yeah.
Favorite hood spot? Food wise, it's like kind of under the radar.
Favorite, just one?
Yeah, or you can give us a couple if you want.
Mama Knockers.
Where's that at?
Burgers, Compton.
Burgers,
fries, fire. That shit come off the grill. Like, I don't know who makes it.
What's the name of it?
Mama Knockers.
Mama Knockers.
Tams. Tams mm-hmm. been there for a nigga. Nigga, Domino's always rain.
Domino's?
especially when they first, see, a lot of people don't know. When they first came out with the, if it ain't there in 30 minutes, it's free. Niggas, we wore their ass out.
Yeah.
We wore their ass out. Niggas wouldn't open the door. Niggas would block the streets. Like, nigga, nah. So, yeah, man. I'll just do five. Randy Donuts, man. You know, you come home from LAX, you come from Dubai, you come from wherever. Like, Randy's is there for you, man. And you take the Randy's, you put it in the microwave, 6 seconds.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. And then five, man, I got Travis Barker's Crossroads, the vegan joint. It's crazy.
Where's that at?
It's one on Melrose. They about to put one in Calabasas.
Crossroads. Okay.
Yeah. I ain't vegan, but I be vegan when I eat there.
Every now and then. Build your dream dinner with five guests.
Dead or alive?
Man, I definitely gotta sit with Bob Marley. Just to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Dead or alive, dream dinner, bring back Nip. We got some unfinished business, things to talk about. Tupac for sure. Never met Pac.
You might just say our whole wall then, bro. Cause...
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, Kobe.
Yeah.
And, shit, man. Probably buy a dog from X at the dinner.
Yeah. The whole wall then.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Last question. If you could pick one guest that you would want to see on All the Smoke, who would it be? But before you answer, have to help us get your answer on the show.
All right. So it's, let me see. Yeah. Damn, I don't know if I can help. Get M on here.
Yo, you said you can't help us. You got to see somebody you can help us. You can't help us.
I mean,
us
well, look, this interview would help. Ooh. I told him to come outside, man. It's time to rap.
Yeah.
Get him on here, man. Y'all can do it.
I would love for you to come on the show, M.
Yeah, she'll be dope.
Come on down, bro. I fuck with you. You dig? You know what I'm saying?
That was your call out?
Yeah. I mean that shit. Hey. Yeah, I ain't asking Regina Hall to come. I was asking Regina Hall, it'd be different, nigga.
Yeah. Okay.
Put some passion into it, nigga.
Yeah, okay. I feel you.
Yeah.
Well, man, we appreciate your time.
Hold up,
before,
you know that's our dog, man.
Yeah, my bad.
Can't let him leave empty-handed. Come on, now you tripping.
Forgive me.
And where can we find it? Let me ask you this time. This is some merch, bro. Some All the Smoke merch, man.
All the Smoke.
I got something for y'all, too, man.
It's
just in the car.
We appreciate you coming, bro. We couldn't let you leave empty-headed.
Oh, yeah.
Nice little sweatsuit. You know what I'm talking about? You can throw on one of them videos.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Throw on one of them videos, All the Smoke boys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It,
they not out yet, so you got them early. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, man, we appreciate your time, bro. Best of luck with everything.
Love,
upcoming album, Being a Pops.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's a wrap. All the Smoke. Game. You can catch us on Showtime Basketball, YouTube, and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
Compton.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.